it gets to the place where it's about talking about the fundamental nature of the church and the way that it works. We're already doing quite a bit of that, so it's not like I'm introducing something new, but I want to think about developing that more. When we talk about being a community-focused church or community-focused people, we're talking, I would suggest, and we'll get into this in just a moment, and the things I'm going to do this morning are just overviews, and then we'll unpack them a little bit next couple of weeks. But when we talk about being a community-focused church, we're talking, in one sense, about the nature of the gospel itself. And we're talking about the type of community that we are together as a church, and we're talking about the way that we live our community within our community. The church is a community within a community that becomes a bigger community. And so we're going to sort of unpack that a little bit and think a bit about that. And then when we think about youth and children's ministry, we're going to be thinking about our big challenge in one sense. Something that I believe that requires a little bit of spiritual effort to break through and to make some stuff happen, and we'll get to that in just a moment. So is that okay? Just for a few moments this morning, going to think around these things and share a few thoughts around them, if that's okay. Great, so where do we start then with this? I've agonized on where to go with these because, you know, all three of those I could wax lyrical for hours on and we could get stuck into and really unpack, and I've got to limit myself this morning to an overview, really, and to just whetting our appetites a little bit, really, if you like. So every member ministry, what are we talking about when we get into thinking about that? Do you ever get the feeling that there's more for you to do than you currently find the opportunity to do? Do you ever get the feeling that you should be doing something that you can't quite define? Or do you ever get the feeling that there should be something you are moving on and doing and acting out that doesn't maybe fit quite with the way that church usually works? Do you ever get that feeling? Maybe if you do, I'm not looking for a show of hands or nods or whatever, but if you do, then maybe that the things we can talk about this morning will kick into for yourself this morning. Now, when we're talking about every member ministry, really what we're talking about is what the New Testament talks about as the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote much of the New Testament. He wrote quite a huge portion of the New Testament. In fact, you could say he's the most prolific writer when it comes to the New Testament. But actually, Paul was just an interpreter in many ways. Paul was not somebody who introduced new ideas. He was the interpreter of Jesus' words and an interpreter of the Old Testament in the light of his relationship and knowledge of Christ. So, you know, you will sometimes meet in theological terms Paul's gospel and Jesus' gospel. That's nonsense, I would humbly suggest. Paul's gospel is Jesus' gospel. It's just that Paul, like us, was somebody who was trying to interpret the life and the words and the ministry of Jesus and how we put that into practice in everyday life. And one of the ways that he did that was to talk about the church as a body. And to talk about the idea that we all have spiritual gifts. Gifts that God has given us that we're meant to serve him with. And there's three main passages in the New Testament where Paul talks about those gifts. One is in 1 Corinthians 12 through to 14. And in that particular context, he talks about spiritual gifts to a church that are not using them very well. They seem to be gathering together, and you had some people who like were taking charge and, you know, and telling everybody else they should listen to them. Some people, and you know, it basically was a bit of a chaotic gathering, perhaps. And Paul has to write to them about how they use their gifts and how they should structure their meetings and how they should make it happen so that they listen to one another, that they respect each other, and that if you think you're spiritually gifted, you should submit yourself to others. And so he's writing to them about orderly Christian gatherings and the way that we should use them. And one of the other places he writes is in Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul has been writing to the church in Rome about the great mystery of the gospel, the incredible wisdom of God. And he gets to the end of Romans 11 and he says, "Oh, the wisdom and the knowledge of knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments." And then he says, you know, what should we do then? And basically, he then says that a response to this amazing gospel is to use the gifts that God has given us as an act of worship. That we use our bodies to worship God by serving him with the things that we have. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, he writes again about this idea of the gifts. And on this occasion, when Paul writes to the Ephesian letter wasn't specifically to the Ephesian church, I would suggest to you. It was a circular letter that was sent around the churches in that region. And many people would say that it was Paul's great treatise on what the church is all about, what it's like. And as he writes to this letter, he in one sense, he's saying that this is the nature of the church. And he unpacks this thing of the body again, but this time he limits himself to talking about just five spheres: the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the shepherding, and the teaching ministry. And I would suggest to you that when Paul writes to the Ephesians letter there, he's describing in one sense the way that these things, like I say, I can't really get this morning, I don't have time to unpack all of these. But when he writes to Ephesians 4, I would suggest to you that what he's writing is that that's the type of gift that every one of us has in one way or another. That we all have, we're all called to be those that are sent by God, aren't we? We're all sent by God to do something. We're all meant to speak for God in the prophetic sense. We're all meant to share the good news of the gospel in some way or another. So we're all meant to teach one another in one way or another. And we're all meant to care for each other. You know, those are things that describe the five streams. And if we had time to read it this morning, we would see that in Ephesians 4, Paul says that if we don't have those five streams of ministry operating within the church, we will not reach the maturity of Christ. In other words, if we really want to be a mature body of Christ that fully represents Jesus in this world, then we need to be apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, shepherding, and teaching people, a community that's like that. And what I would suggest to you, I take part in a little online cohort, they call it. It's like a community of people with different places around the world every other Monday afternoon. And we just sort of like dialogue around, particularly around this passage, Ephesians 4:11, and the idea of how these things outwork in the church. And in that idea is that perhaps each one of us are, you know, dominant in one or two of those particular five streams that we see in Ephesians 4. Now, I'm going to unpack this a little bit more next week, okay? So I hope I'm not being too technical with this morning, but where the rubber hits the road with this, I would suggest, is that if we have a view of church that is about all of us using what God has given us in terms of ministry, if we have a view of church that in which the body should function, then we recognize that actually we don't build our emphasis around the idea that a limited individual, one individual, or a central group of people are the ones who really do all the work. That actually, in one sense, look, let's rubber hit the road sort of thing here, okay? So for instance, there are some of you here who are much better pastors than I will ever be. I'd like to feel I'm a caring person. I would like to feel that, but you know, when I look at that list of five things, actually, I'm stronger in, I would suggest, I think, I hope, in areas of teaching and in, I wouldn't call myself an apostle, but in the apostolic type role and model. I would say that I'm stronger in those. And there's some of you here that will care for people more effectively, will run with, you know, more than I ever will. We mustn't have a view of church that says that how we lead people into the kingdom is to take them to the pastor or to one of the evangelists in the church and they'll lead them into the kingdom. Many of you are better evangelists than I will ever be. Some of you are better at sharing your faith and leading people into the kingdom than I will ever be. And yet we've nurtured church paradigms and ways of doing church in which we haven't fully recognized that actually these five streams are distributed amongst all of us. Are there things in your heart that resonate and you think, I'm just busting to get out and do with that, to be making that happen, to realizing that, to be putting that into practice? How are we moving forward as a church? When we're looking forward to the next 20 years, there's something in this idea of being more of the body that I believe is where we should be growing and we should be maturing. Lots more I could say about it, but I'm going to leave that thought with you for a moment, if that's okay. Let me... Stuck. There we go. Actually, let me just quickly with this little... I wasn't too sure that I would muck about with this slide, but I will just for a moment. See, how does this outwork as well? You know, I would suggest to you there's two extremes that we should really avoid with church. One is the idea where church is about control, where an individual or a small group of individuals have to control everything that happens. So everything that happens in the church has to go through their okay, has to be cleared by them. And what develops in that context is a fear culture where people are frightened to take opportunities and to make mistakes. And to be honest with you, I've been part of a church like that, where control, everything has to be okayed by the central government. And if that's not, then it's not okay, and control. The other extreme is where it's complete chaos. And I've seen churches where that's happened, where just actually there's no sense of connectivity. Everybody's just encouraged to do their own thing. And eventually what happens with that one is it just stops happening. It doesn't really be called. Some people keep loving Jesus, but, you know, it just peters out. With the control element, it doesn't last, because eventually people become embittered, discouraged, and either die or leave. And church is meant to, I would suggest you, operate somewhere in the middle of all of that. And as this paradigm outworks, as this way of doing church outworks, what we have to live with is this sense of trying to be connected, trying to have an accountability, but also living with a feeling that somehow or another what's happening is a little bit beyond us all the time. There's a little bit outside of our control. Because Jesus said he would build the church. He didn't tell us to do that. In other words, if we truly want to be church that looks like Jesus, we will never fully be able to add it up in our own minds and our ability to control it. We have to live with the fact that Jesus is always going to be one step ahead of us, because he's outworking that through his body, the individuals. That you might be doing something that I actually think, well, I don't fully get that yet, but I know it's Jesus. Go, be blessed. Do. Make it happen. It's a different way. It's a way of doing church. And I think we do that to some extent already. I don't think it's completely beyond us, but there's more. There's more to step into that. And I believe it's something that we should be exploring more of. Okay, so talking about vision, encourage every member to flow and grow in God's given calling. I want you to be all that God has for you. All I want to be, all that you could be in God. I want you to feel free to grow in that. And I want to help you. And let's have a culture that says we'll do that for one another. Hey? Great. Okay, next one. Community focused. What do we mean by being a community? By this, I'm suggesting to you that we're talking about two layers, okay? Some lovely little pictures up there, aren't there? Things that we're involved with and we're doing. Two layers. One is the life that we live together as church. You know, when we gather together, when we meet together, whether it's here on a Sunday, whether it's you're having a meal with friends, whether it's in your connect group, whether it's in your where you serve with others, whatever it may be, that the life that we live together as church, but also the community that we are within the community, the extent to which the life that we live within our local area. Now, I want to unpack that a little bit more, just a little moment, but I thought, actually, let's have a little rest from my voice for a moment. So, Amy, can you come up? We're going to interview Amy just for a second, okay? We set Amy in last year, as our community pastor, and you know, just thought it'd be good to touch base with you, Amy. Actually, sorry, you have that one. I've got this one. I thought it'd be good to touch base with you, Amy. Okay, or you can shout if you like. That works for me.
Is that working?
That's brilliant. Okay. Yes, so just so that, in case you don't know, Amy is on staff here, works for us. It's 4 days a week, isn't it? And then 2 days voluntary as well. So
three days a week.
Well, it seems like four to me. Sorry. Sorry, Amy. And has been doing that this last year. And yes, like I say, it'd be good to just hear, really, Amy, how you feel. That's been going, some of the good things that have been happening, you know, how's it been going? So,
sure. So this time last year, we were getting ready to relaunch the toddler group and the community cafe that had been done under checks previously. And so since then, We've had 140 different toddlers sign up to the toddler group, about 20 come each time, thankfully not all of them at once, but it's pretty busy in here. We have a great group of regulars coming along to the cafe, and for some of them, it's a really important part of their week, the Mondays that they come to that cafe and hub. We've partnered with Reach, so that there's a Reach drop in here, and we've also been able to run a series of family afternoons here in the Chalkstone, like family activity afternoons, that have been packed and just wonderful events. You know, we've had over 100 to many of those days. But what we really set out to do was to just build relationships with people in our local community, and to just be able to offer them a taste of the kingdom of God through how we love them, serve them, and just include them in our community. So I think a general highlight over this year is that I really believe that we're starting to see that happen. Just in the comments that people share with us at these events and activities, you can tell that they sense that there's something different about the things that we do as a church. And I believe they're experiencing God's peace, love, joy that we can sense is present. And as we've sort of, you know, people coming back time after time, we've had the chance to develop these relationships. They've begun to open up, and we've had the chance to support them, begin to pray for people. And I just want to share a mini highlight that was happened this week, which is one of the mums that I've been praying for a bit, doesn't usually go to church, offered to pray for me this week, which I thought was really amazing.
Wow, fantastic. That's, yeah, brilliant. So that's really encouraging, Amy. Exciting as well, yeah. It is, I have to say, when we're around here on a Thursday morning, if you're around it, it is a real buzz, isn't it, with the toddler group. I love it. So moving forward, how do you see things in the future?
Well, we're obviously connecting with a lot of people, but in many ways, we're sort of at the very start of a journey with them. So our focus, especially over the next two terms, will really be to kind of deepen and develop those relationships that we've been building. We're going to run a few key events that are particularly designed to do that. Things like sharing food together is always great at building community, isn't it? And then at some point, probably after the summer, we would like to begin to offer really easy and accessible opportunities for people to take the next steps in terms of a relationship with Jesus, if they'd like to. We're not quite sure what this looks like yet, so if you'd be praying about that over the next season, and if you have any ideas, come and chat to us. We'd love to hear it. But yeah, and then just one other quick area to introduce to you for this next year. There's little doubt that one of the biggest issues that's going to be facing us over the next decade is the climate crisis. And as Christians, we have a clear mandate to engage with that issue. This is God's creation that he called good. And, you know, from Genesis throughout the Bible, he commands us to be good stewards of it. So over the next year, we're going to be really looking at what we can do as individuals. We'll be sharing articles on Facebook and so on. We'll have a talk later on in the year. We're going to be looking at what we can do as a church. Arusha do eco-church awards for churches that meet certain standards for their eco-church awards. So we'll be applying for that. Have to make some changes to make that happen. And we've had initial conversations and hopefully we'll be working with the council to look at what could be done across Haverhill. So if that's something that interests you, this new area, please come and chat to me because there might be some ways that you'd like to get involved.
Brilliant. Thank you, Amy. Do appreciate all you do. I find that exciting, actually, when we partner with other people as well, you know. Traditionally, as church, I don't know that we've always been brilliant at that, really, but when we work with other people and bring something of the life of the kingdom into that, that's really, really exciting. So, I must crack on, really, because just a couple of other bits I want to just share this morning. When we're talking about this community-focused thing, I suggested just earlier that actually it also touches on the nature of the gospel itself, doesn't it? And for me, what I mean by that is when Jesus, when Mark, if you like, sums up Jesus' message, he says that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So often what we do when we as Christians, we say, what is the gospel? We move directly to the repent part, okay? And so we say that the most important part of the gospel is repentance so that we can enter the kingdom of God. And indeed, Paul does say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that which he received, he passed on of first importance, that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose from the dead. And so you can't be a Christian if you don't get the idea of repentance. The idea that we have to say sorry to God for living our lives to ourselves and we embrace the work that Jesus did for us on the cross. You can't be a Christian if you don't get that. And that is of central importance in terms of entering the kingdom of God. But it's not where Jesus started. And I think this is important to grasp at the order here. That he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. You see, when people repented at the ministry of Jesus, it was because they'd experienced the kingdom of God first. And so our mandate, when we're talking about how we do this gospel, how we outwork this gospel, yes, the core message of entering the kingdom of God and how we become Christians is to accept this, to repent and believe. But for us, in terms of the way that we get there and we help people find that, surely it's about demonstrating the kingdom of God in all that we do. And so when we're talking about being a community-focused church, what we're saying is that the community that we live together should be an expression of heaven's life on earth. That people look at that and say, hey, I like that. I enjoy what I see when I'm around these people. I like what I get from when I see these people sharing their life together. It should be a fulfillment of what Jesus said when he said, taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then surely that overflows into the way that we as a community impact the community around us. So that with things that we do in the toddler group here should be an expression of the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean that somebody has to get up and go around telling everybody to repent. Because I don't think we'd have many come back if we did that. But what it does mean is that there has to be that little edge, that little something extra that says, God's in the house. I remember having a conversation with a funder from Reach a number of years ago, and they were saying, you know, what's the difference between Reach and Citizens Advice Bureau? Because both are very good. So the difference is that perhaps with Reach, it's church. That doesn't mean to say that we preach at people all the time. That doesn't mean to say that we insist that everybody that gets involved with Reach comes to church. But it touches on our life together. It touches on the fact that God is amongst us, working with us. That it's to touch Reach is to touch our family, our church family. And I'm not just talking about River of Life, I'm talking about the church in our town, the way that we live, and something of that flows over. And so when we're talking about being a community-focused church, then what I would suggest the starting place for what we're saying is that we want people to experience the life of Christ, the kingdom of God, to taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, we often, you know, want to just try and manipulate conversations to get people to the repentance part so that they know that they're a sinner, rather than starting with, the Lord is good. What's he going to do for you? Touch the goodness of God. We want to start with Genesis 3 rather than Genesis 1 is a way that I've heard it explained. You know, when God introduced himself to us as humanity, he gave us the world and blessed us. We stepped out of that by disobeying and moving away from God. And the consequences came to that. And we do need to understand that message. We're truly to get hold of Christ. But where do we start? The Lord is good. I hope I'm being clear in the way I'm talking about this morning. I don't know if I've got. Now, we often talk here about the way that we share the gospel is through words, works, and wonders. That we share the gospel. Yes, there is an oral message to the gospel. There is something to communicate. But there's also about demonstrating the love of God. If we don't just tell people God loves them, that we show them in practical ways. That we get involved in people's lives. But also wonders. That there comes a point where something of the miraculous hand of God kicks in and we engage with that. There's times when only a work from God will do. I don't know why I've been thinking about just recently about a little old lady that Wendy and I used to visit in the early days of the church. We'd like go off to pray for people. And this little old lady, she was blind. She was infirm. She couldn't get out. She wouldn't, you know, and she didn't, you know, she died not long after we started visiting her and stuff. Not that those two things are connected, but you know, we prayed with her And then Wendy went to visit her one day, and she said, I mean, she wasn't a Christian when we first were going. Wendy went to visit her one day, and she said, you know, I woke up in the middle of the night last night, she said, and Jesus was standing there in front of me. This little old lady was blind, but she saw him. She said, I met him last night. I know who he is now. You know, when she passed away, she went to be with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? I'm talking about that sort of thing, really. That miracle. We're not just talking about broken limbs being healed, but God invading our world and doing the things that we can't do. Words, works, and wonders. There's always a tension as well when we plan church. I just want to quickly mention this, really. Between the idea, you know, for many of us, we want lots going on in church. We want a program, and church should have a program, things that we do together. But there's always a tension between that and thinking, but actually, if we're really going to be disciples of Christ, impacting the world around us, we've got to have a bit of space to live as well, haven't we? You've got to have a bit of family life. You've got to have a bit of time for yourself to grow who you are, to meet your friends and neighbours, to have a barbie with the people next door, you know, whatever it may be. You've got to have and there's that always that tension. I feel it every year when I come to plan the church. I think some of you want me to put loads on, want us to put loads on. Some of you think, please don't do too much, Sunday's enough, whatever it may be. But actually, there is a tension there, isn't there, that we need to be able to somehow live with. Be thankful that there's not a huge amount on all the time, but that doesn't mean to say that we can't use it to be an expression of Christ wherever you are. Eh? Okay. So, let's represent Christ within our community, in the community in which God has placed us, as every way that we can. So, last thing, just want to very, very briefly think about, and then I'm going to get Claire to come and share something as well off the back of this, really. Just think about with youth and children. Do you mind if I just quickly get to my notes? Because I so love what Rob shared earlier. As you get older, some of us are moving in that direction. Some of us have moved in that direction. Okay, yeah, well, I've no idea what that was, but yeah, we'll carry on. Oh, wind, all right, I thought something was going to fall down. I don't know about you, but when we're talking about youth and children here, I want to say that there is stuff that's really great that's happening already. I'm really been blessed the last year, haven't you, by some of our youngsters. I love the fact that, you know, they led the communion. I think once or twice, wasn't it? I love that. I love the fact that they're serving in different ways, whether it's welcoming or on the visuals, or you know, to see a couple of them sharing on a Sunday morning and bringing the word to us. I love that. There's some good stuff happening. To see a couple of our youngsters baptized last year as well, you know, wonderful. To see what's happening with Youth for Christ locally and the Illuminate on a Sunday night. You know, quite a lot of our youngsters go to Illuminate on a Sunday night as well. And that's a great space for Christian, particularly for Christian kids who, you know, can just be themselves and not be ashamed of their faith and grow in their faith and talk about their faith there. And so God has been growing that. You know, the reason we have our little creative worship table over here is not just that some people like colouring in pictures, Ruth. You know, so, but, you know, it's to say to, you know, to our kids, we've thought of you. We value you. We know that sometimes that singing the songs for a little while is not necessarily the way you want to engage, but we want you to be part of that because we want you to see how we worship together and we sing songs together. But if you want to be creative in your worship, it's not a colouring table, it is a creative, you know, draw pictures about God, you know, speak, and so that's what, you know, that's why we try and have a, like, creche little bit there as well. So there's things that are growing and happening, and that's encouraging. But there's more, isn't there? There's more. And one of the things I think that we've never really fully done is in this town, in the 20 years that I've been here, within the church community generally, has been reaching unchurched kids and leading them towards Christ. And I think that is an area that we must crack on with and do something about. We've talked about it quite a lot over the years, and we've had little stabs at it, but actually it's an area that I think we need a little bit more spiritual energy in. We need a little bit more spiritual. It's not that nothing's happened there. Do you know, actually, it's quite ironic, really, because last night, I don't know, most of you probably know that Wendy and I have started fostering. We've got about a young lady live with us now for about 6 months, and she's 15. So we had one of her friends sleep over last night, and when I went to pick her friend up, friend said, well, my mum wants to meet you. Fair enough. So that would scare her off. You won't be staying tonight now. but actually, when I met her mum, she said, I know you. You know, we've had that awkward moment when you think, you know me, but oh dear, I don't know you, sorry. But actually, she said, I used to go to a Bible study that you ran down at the Methodist Church 20 years ago. Well, it would have been the one that Steve Watts started when he used. Steve used to be a youth worker. Did you know that? Steve used to run. Actually, initiated the Youth for Christ locally here, and was the first youth worker for that. And it was about the time that we started the church around here, wasn't it? And he ran a little youth club out at the Methodist Church, and a lot of kids started coming to that, didn't they? And we was involved with that. And she used to go to that. Wow. What's the chance of that? I'm going to talk about this morning. And in fact, I've bumped into a few of those kids recently. There's a couple of lads that quite often see here working in one of the supermarkets. But they actually came to us one time and said, we want to become Christians. Can you meet us? And there was another guy called Andy, who used to be part of the church here. We arranged to meet them. And then by the time we met them after the group one night, they said, well, actually, we want to be Christians. But mum and dad have said, we can't yet. So we just thought, okay, well, you just keep pursuing that. But I'm bumping into them. There's another one that lives just near here and that used to go to that group as well. And it's got, I think, 3 kids now, you know, and see her quite a lot, really. That's encouraging, isn't it? Seeds that we sow that are in God will grow in some way or another. See, in actual fact, when we first started the church, we had a little thing called Revelation 22 that ran. I want to say it was off the back of what Steve was doing there as youth club. Some of those kids started coming to a group around our house. I think we did it in the week. So some of the ones that were a little bit more interested in finding out about the Bible a little bit more, than they came to our house. And we kept that going for a little while until we thought, it's really not fair on our neighbours. There's too many fags going over their fences and too much bad language out the back garden. So we better stop that, really. And the city was getting ruined and our kids, you know, I think James had a couple of his PlayStation games nicked and stuff like that, and we had some money stolen, and we thought, actually, we probably shouldn't start. We should probably look to do this outside. So then we started in the library, and we had a thing on a Sunday night. And actually, at one time, we had 35 unchurched kids come to that. And, you know, and it was just, worship together, Bible study, and play games. And they all went for it. But actually, I don't know that any of them really have gone on to be fully devoted followers of Christ. We put it on pause for a little while, for one reason or another at the time, said we would pick it up, and actually it's one of those things where you stopped it, intended to start, but it never actually got going again. See, gathering kids, I don't think is difficult, really, if I'm honest with you. Connecting with them, it's not difficult, but actually leading them towards being fully devoted followers of Christ, there's some challenges in that, really, isn't there? And it's that really I would like us. See, what I would like to suggest really in this one, see, the other two, I think, you know, they're growing and we'll just keep moving and keep expanding. Keep growing as being the type of church that is focused around every member ministry. That we'll keep being community that is an expression of the kingdom of God. And I hope we just keep growing on that. But with this one, there, you know, we can keep doing the things we do, like, you know, Reflect and Power Kids and, you know, and Illuminate and all the different things and serving, but there is another level that I think that we need to grow to, and I really would like us to be moving forward. See, the big challenge I want to just offer to you today, really, in this respect, and this is I don't have the answers. We don't have the answers. We had a little group meet this week, some of those that are involved with youth and ministry in the church here, and just talking ideas and thoughts. But we don't want just ideas, do we? We want those God moments, that God-anointed way forward. So what I'd like us to invite us to do this year, because I think it's about time we really got serious with dealing with this. You know, we've talked about it quite a lot over the years, had little goes, but is to just invite you to pray and fast with us. What I really would like to say is that from February through to Easter, I'd like to suggest that we fast every Friday for God to give us wisdom when it comes to youth ministry, to know, to get a strategy, and to get anointing in those areas. Now, before we started the church here, we did lots of praying and fasting, because you can't just peel up and do things for God. You have to dig deep. It's like money in a bank. Prayer and fasting is like money in a bank. You put it in, and then God allows you to draw it out. And that's something of that I would like to invite us to do. So I'll talk a bit more about that in a couple of weeks' time, about prayer and fasting and breakthrough and the way that works. But today I just want to put that thought out there to you. Will you think about joining with us in praying and fasting. We'll have some gatherings. Occasionally, we'll just invite you to be able to come and just have some occasional times when we meet together to pray and worship and ask God to speak as well off the back of our fasting. And when I say fasting, I'm not asking you to sort of, you know, you can fast one meal, three meals, whatever it is, whatever you like. Or if you're not meant to fast food, fast TV. If you can't do that, fast chocolate, whatever it may be, you know, fast one day a week, you know, find some way. Because I know the Bible says that God will always reward us when we fast. And one of the reasons that I felt that I should highlight this year was because Claire shared a little thought, a little vision, if you like, that she got from the Lord last year. And somehow or another, it resonated with me. And I was thinking, you know, this was like back end of last year, when I'm thinking about, you know, God, what are you drawing us and calling us towards next? And something of what she shared just sort of resonated with me. And I thought, you know, this is the season. This is the time for us to dig into this. So, Claire, do you want to come and share what you felt and lead us for a little bit, if that's okay?
So, early last year, I was thinking about future and teenager in particular. And I wrote a little text, so I'm just going to read that out to you. So it's called A Dream for Our Teenagers. Teenagers being our teenagers in the church, but also outside of the church in our community. I have a dream that our teenagers will become God's warriors, that our church community will give them opportunities to know God and grow in faith and have the light of God shine on their face. That our church will hold high expectation for this new generation, that we will have many occasions to develop for Christ a passion, that they will truly experience God's love and want to share it all above, that they will build a wide and strong network of people standing firm on the only rock, that their faith will be so strong that it inspires people to come along, that through their behavior and action, our community recognizes the need to take position. As for salvation, there is no in-between. Ultimately, only God's people will win. Church, let's keep our teenagers in the center of our prayers. They are in a season of making important decisions, a season of many potential temptation. Let's pray over them for protection. But let's be even bolder in our prayers and ask God to use them as influencers, men and women that God empowers to point in direction of Christ the Savior. Youngsters, in the Bible, young Timothy was by Paul encouraged not to listen to people who despise him because of his age. Don't wait around for people in the church to give you what you want or need. Take courage, share your hopes, dream big, ask, and take the lead. God is able to do immeasurably more than all you can ask or imagine. So be this generation who take delight and trust in him. So maybe we can pray for this and for the different things that Paul shared today. So let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for today and for everything that Paul shared this morning. Thank you for us being a church community. Thank you for us being able to build relationship with others and bring them to faith through that. Well, I thank you for the teenagers you're placed in our church. I thank you for the ones that are not in the church yet, but are all around. And I pray for people to be able to feel the passion, to build relationship and draw people to you this way. In Jesus' name, amen.